The Volume.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card...
Right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more. Surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Happy Friday. Potentially happy Saturday. We made it through the week. And we made it through a Thursday night game. Browns, I wouldn't say squeak out. I thought they took it to them. You know, the Broncos got a late touchdown to make it 17-14. But nice win by the Brownies. Kevin Stefanski, no Baker Mayfield, no Nick Chubb. Impressive. D'Ernest Johnson goes nuts. We'll dive into that game and some thoughts off the top. Miami, Deshaun Watson, Tua Tagovailoa. We're going to dive. I got some takes there. Aaron Rodgers feels like all's happy in Green Bay, as it should be. They're 5-1. LSU, have some thoughts on their coaching search, and then we'll hit on a couple games. And, of course, Stuckey. Makes his three picks at the end of the show. But also, subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. Leave a review if you could. Middlecoff Mailbag at John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Slide up in those DMs and get your question answered here on the show. I think there were several, you know, overarching takeaways from this Thursday night game. First and foremost with the Browns. The scheme Kevin Stefanski operates under, Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur, it is very quarterback friendly. And when you can run the ball, like the Brownies did today, with a guy that I had never heard of, D'Ernest Johnson, who I just went to his Wikipedia page before I fired this up. I didn't have the volume on with Troy and Joe. He was in the AAF 2 years ago, played for the Orlando team. You can find running backs. It's why we always talk about the draft. There is a huge component to value. You don't take Saquon Barkley number 2 overall. I don't even like taking running backs in the first round. And I love Najee Harris. I love Josh Jacobs. To me, earliest I would take him in the second. Ideally, you can find guys in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, undrafted free agents, find guys in the AAF, especially in this scheme. You don't, like, that guy couldn't make anyone miss. He's a straight line guy. Now, he could stop and start. He had good feet. But if you can get downhill in this scheme,
You can run for 100 yards. I mean, just pretty easily. He averaged 6.6 yards a carry. And Case Keenum, like, let's face it. I know Colin kind of trolls, kind of messes, but he's also kind of being serious. The issue with Baker Mayfield now is he better than Case Keenum? Yes. He's a better player than Case Keenum. Though Case is pretty damn good backup. The problem with Baker Mayfield is, you know, in a perfect world, he's like an $18 million quarterback where the top guys make 45. But he's going to want 35 to 40. You can't pay him that. And listen, he's injured. That's not his fault. I think Baker's tough. He's actually a lot better than I thought he was going to be a couple years ago. But I think he benefits a lot from this coach who, you know, had success with Case Keenum. I know technically he wasn't the play caller. Obviously, his year with Kirk Cousins, Kirk was awesome. You're going to have success in this offense. So I think if you're this team, as these games move forward, there were some reports about Baker in the labrum. It's not going to get better. He's going to need offseason surgery. You're going to have to do a lot of deep thinking and deep analytical dives on who else we could get, what's the value, how much they want. Luckily, that's the way the Browns think. They have an Ivy League level GM. The head coach is an Ivy League guy. Like, they're smart. I actually, like Jerry Jones, and listen, I might have been wrong. Dak clearly looks like he's worth $40 million a year. I didn't love paying him that. Even though, like I said, it looks like he's probably, you know, I still think, you know, 34, 35 million, but, you know, we're pinching pennies, right? Well, what are we really talking about if he's going to play at an MVP level? Baker doesn't have that in the bag. He just doesn't, especially in an offense that's not, unlike Dak, like Dak wants to carry you throwing the ball. Baker's offense is always going to be predicated on the run game. And really, as long as Myles Garrett, they're playing defense. So I think it's night like tonight where you go, you know, just ride it out, you know? Hell, maybe you, this offseason, now I don't know, you know, I wouldn't want Case to be my full-time starter, but these guys are running studies. They are seeing, like, can you get someone a little baseball, you know, platoon? Can I get someone 90% of Baker for $5 million when someone, you know, trade him to Washington football team or, hell, Denver Broncos and make someone pay him? Because I struggle with that one. And I'm not some Baker Mayfield hater by any means, but as you see in this offense with a running back that, let's face it, most of us had never heard of, just goes nuts because that's what the Shanahan family's been doing forever. McVay's doing that now. Look at what LaFleur's done with the running game there. It works. Stefanski's a really good coach. And on the flip side, when you can get by with any starter out in the NFL for a game, and you can win that game, whether it's Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa, whether it's Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, whether it's Peyton Manning or Jerry Rice, that backup can help win you a game, whoever that player is. And you can get by without one of the greatest players, an all-pro, a Pro Bowl-level player. But the more and more the games go, right, I can win a game with a backup for a game, regardless of an opponent. The guy's an NFL player. If he's tough, if he's coached up, if he's a skilled player, even if there's a big drop-off, I can win one game, especially if I'm a good coach. I can scheme plays. I can figure it out. But if I'm a backup and I have to start for a month, for 2 months, for an entire season, I will get exposed. It's just a reality of the highest level of sports. And Teddy Bridgewater, I have nothing but admiration for the person, for what he's overcome, that knee injury at practice, and everything he stands for. I would want Teddy Bridgewater on my team as the backup. He's not a starter. He just isn't. And the more he has to play, the more he gets exposed. Just like any player in the NFL, if they had to start when they're not a starter for a month, for 5 games, for 8 games, for 10 games, they're going to get exposed. Their weaknesses are going to come to light because these opposing coaches, coordinators, make millions of dollars. Defensive coordinators in the NFL, all 32 of them make 7 figures. Every single one. And they spend an ungodly amount of time in the film room. And these players on defense, at even average defenses, have a couple guys that can make you pay. Teddy doesn't have a great arm. He's just not a great player. But if he has to fill in for 2 weeks, like he did on the Saints, or 3 or 4 weeks, you can get by. But when you start him week in, week out on an average team, you get exposed. And that's what's happening. And ultimately, Vic Fangio, we've seen in recent memory, right? Bruce Arians did not get a head coaching job until he was 60 years old. And for the last decade, he's been one of the best head coaches in the league. And I think we look back and we go, God, B.A. should have been a head coach in the NFL for the last 20 years. Mike Zimmer didn't get a head coaching job till later in his career. He was a really good head coach. I don't know if he's going to make the playoffs this year, but went to the playoffs countless times. Even a Vikings fan can admit Mike Zimmer was solid. And some old guys, right, that were great coordinators, because Vic Fangio is a great coordinator. Coaches in the NFL, offensive coaches, I think 2 years ago in a poll, you know, said he was the best defensive coordinator in the league. He's not a head coach. Now, would he have succeeded if he would have had a better quarterback? Maybe. But I think when you see his temperament, you see his inability to do anything on offense, and I think he probably tries to influence that area, and then the defense gets worse. It's just part of the, it's just a reality. Like, some guys are just meant to be number twos, and luckily in the NFL, being a number two pays, at Vic Fangio's level, someone will pay him $3.5 million to be their defensive coordinator next year. But he's not going to be the Broncos head coach. They will have a new head coach next year. And Von Miller, I put a lot of money on the Super Bowl that they played the Carolina Panthers, and he was a Super Bowl MVP. I was there, and he was a huge reason that I won a lot of cash that night. I used to, when I worked for the Raiders post game, I probably saw him play, you know, three or four straight years live in the peak of his powers. He's as good as there's ever been as a speed edge rusher, special player. And I know he got banged up tonight, but he made some comments this week, and I don't blame him, because just like Muhammad Ali would at the end of his run, just like, you know, Kobe Bryant at the last year of his career, you still in your mind operate like you're an all-time great because you've been an all-time great your whole life. But it's probably, even though it's over, but your mind doesn't tell your body that, even though your body is done. Because your mind still thinks it has it, because your mind has never been stronger, but your body no longer has it. And that's what Von Miller is. Said he was going to have a bunch of sacks tonight, said he was going to take over. In his mind, he's still that guy. He still has it in him. He still probably works as hard. He's just locked in his film study. His body doesn't equal that anymore. Like, Myles Garrett doesn't need to say that. He can just kick everyone's ass because his body is an unstoppable force, like Von's used to be. But it's over. And it's just the sad reality in the sport of football is for guys like Von Miller. It's not like Von's 40 years old, right? He's probably 30, 31, 32 years old, but it's over. He's had a major injury. He's no longer the same. His quickness, his explosion, it's just not quite there. He's just not a dominant player anymore. And it's sad to see. And that also goes back to Vic Fangio, the Broncos. They're just not as good. Like, they pay him a lot of money to be an elite player, and he's just not. You know, and when you have a backup quarterback as your starting quarterback and your team's already a little flawed, that's what you get. Like, the Browns just right now have a better roster, even with their injuries. And a coach who can have more of an impact because his running scheme, like, it's hard to be a defensive coordinator, being the head coach. Like, it's just not really working. It's not working for Zimmer either. That's why I'd always hire an offensive coach. I.E. Stefanski, you know? It's like, I know the final score is 17-14, but let's face it. The game I watched wasn't really that close. So, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I think next year he'll find back to where he should be as a backup. And I think Cleveland will just ask themselves moving forward, what the hell do we do with Baker Mayfield? FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet the same game parlay, bet three legs or more, and if you bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back. Up to $10. FanDuel's easy to use, it's safe and secure, easy payouts as little as 2 hours. It's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. That's why I'm doing it. So lock in your bet on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code COLIN, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code COLIN. 21 and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund 10.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42-ARIZONA, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit FanDuel.com/RG, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan, Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789, Tennessee, visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere.
Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Okay, let's dive into the biggest story of the week. The Miami Dolphins are prepared to trade for Deshaun Watson, and Tua Tagovailoa might be shipped somewhere else. Washington football team, Denver, who knows? A lot of different angles here. Let's rewind 18 months. Everyone thought that the Dolphins, and basically everyone, or the majority of people in the media, the pundits that talk about the draft, I'd imagine a lot of people in the NFL had Tua rated over Justin Herbert. That was, I think, consensus, right? And I've said over and over, regardless what the outside noise was, it is the Miami Dolphins general manager and head coach's job to get it right. It doesn't matter where Mel Kiper or Daniel Jeremiah or Mike Mayock back in the day, or what your favorite podcast host, what Coward says, what another team says. It is incumbent, it is their job to pick the right player. And when you take a quarterback in the top five, if you miss, it sets your franchise back several years. I think we all agree and acknowledge that. But when you whiff on the quarterback because the following pick was another quarterback and he becomes a superstar, then there becomes a bullseye on your job. That office that you have is no longer a stable place. Any owner worth their salt would start questioning if you are the guy to run the franchise. And let's face it, it's a devastating swing and miss. I'm seeing it right now with the Golden State Warriors. 2 years ago, they had the number 2 overall pick. They took James Wiseman, a brittle, you know, kind of soft big man who's a major project. BBB and LaMelo Ball, Lonzo's brother, is a absolute superstar. He is going to be, if he stays healthy, a decade-long all-star. They missed. It's clear. Now, Wiseman, like Tua, can still become solid players, but they will never, ever become the guy that was drafted after them. Tua, on his best day, could never do what Herbert's already done, let alone what he's going to do. Then there's the element of Deshaun Watson. And luckily for the Warriors, they have Steph Curry on their team. The Miami Dolphins have no Steph Curry. They're 1-5. I think anyone listening knows this. In any business situation, you don't want to operate out of a position of desperation, right? If you run a business, if you're in charge of whatever, you know, sector or a certain industry or certain job, when you make decisions, you want to make them, if not from a position of power, at least one of neutrality. One where your back's against the wall and you get desperate, it sucks. You typically have to overpay. And when you have to overpay, if things go wrong, you get screwed. I.e. the housing crisis in 07, right? People were paying astronomical amounts of money for homes. Everything flipped. They couldn't pay for the homes. And people were underwater all over this country on their homes. You know, some could say some parallels going on, but there's clearly more money. It's not the same. But it's happened before. And I think sometimes, listen, you got to live somewhere. So when you make a home purchase, and a lot's happened over the last 2 years in terms of home purchases and the market going skyrocketing, you know, it's easier to justify, like, am I overpaying for this? Probably, but I got to live somewhere. When you pick a quarterback and there are other options, this is better. It better be the right guy. And Deshaun Watson is now, he's no longer just a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's now a walking, talking, playing red flag. Like, what happened to him this offseason and continues to happen, right? He has not played, is not an ideal situation, to put it mildly. And if you are a team in the climate in which 2021, I do not think you could pay dollar for dollar. And let's face it, before any of these allegations came out, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Aaron Rodgers, the price on all those guys was like four number ones. And it didn't seem that crazy on any of them. Rodgers a little bit because he was 37 years old. But it's like, you want Deshaun Watson, you want Russell Wilson, I'm going to need like three ones and three twos or four ones and a player. It was going to be a shitload. We're all like, yeah, it's what you got to pay. You know, you want a beachfront property in Hawaii or LA, like you got to overpay. There's just, they're not that many of them. There aren't that many Deshaun Watsons. But now he has this issue off the field that unless you have the greatest, you know, detectives in the history of detectives, you have no clue what the truth is. You can gather information, and I've talked to a lot of people in the NFL, and one overarching theme that I've heard from teams that aren't even that interested, the rumors and the people are getting more comfortable is that he wasn't a big go-out guy. He used this to basically get laid, and, you know, he was using it a lot, you know, that move. Now, the thing that no one knows is what happened once they were together. Some clearly consensual. Others, who knows? No one was there. No one could say with a straight face beside the two people, Deshaun and the countless massage therapists, right? We have no clue. So if you are the Miami Dolphins, and let's face it, they are desperate. They are now 1-5. They are a disaster. I mean, they are headed for like a 3-win team, right? They're just not very good. They're not good at all. And their quarterback situation is a major problem. So do you want to make this move out of desperation? Well, what does it cost? Because if you tell me it costs a second round pick to get Deshaun Watson, is it worth the risk? I'd say, hell yes. Right? Would it be worth getting some beachfront property in Malibu for a $10 million home for $2 million? But they might have a legitimate cockroach, termite, and snake problem. You'd be like, well, if we get the pest people over here, clear them out, maybe it'll be okay. You'd be like, yeah, it might be worth the risk. Worst case scenario, you can clear it out. You can flip it for $10 million. Right? Worst case scenario, you get something for $2 million. He gets in trouble. It's like, whatever. It was worth the risk. But are you paying three ones and a two to acquire Deshaun Watson? And then he can't shake these cases? Or it becomes like it actually happened? That would be the reason why I could not trade for him. But here's the problem. And I think this happens a lot in pro sports. Owning an NFL team is incredible. You are guaranteed to make millions of dollars. Whether your team goes to the Super Bowl or whether your team doesn't win a game, it does not matter. You will make a net profit every year. And, you know, for the most part, your net profit is going to be pretty big. But just based on the media rights, let alone sales, you know, jersey sales to, you know, obviously your 8 or 9 home games, depending on if you're in the NFC or AFC now. I think Stephen Ross, and I don't blame him, has to be furious. Like, you guys fucked up the pick. And now the only way for us to not be set back for years after we already blew it up to set ourselves back for a couple years is to do this. And he's forcing these guys' hands. And what would you do if you're those two guys? You're like, well, I might get fired anyway because I'm going to be the guy that drafted Tua over Herbert, right? If you're Greer and Flores. But if I draft or if I trade for Deshaun Watson and all this stuff becomes true or just one of the incidents actually went bad for Deshaun Watson and he's a criminal, I'm never getting hired in this capacity again. My career is over. Even if the owner uses you to shield his desires and they might not be interested. Ultimately, if Stephen Ross wants to do something, Stephen Ross is going to do it, as he should. He signs the checks. And the best part about being an owner is that could happen. He just blamed the owner or he just blamed the GM and the head coach. So it's a very, very slippery slope. I would not trade for him. But I know talking to people in the league, they are feeling more comfortable, though it is a calculated risk. It's a very, very calculated risk. And also, there aren't many Deshaun Watsons walking around this earth. And clearly, the Miami Dolphins don't have one. Now, Tua, like, would they, if they get Deshaun Watson, they might as well just trade Tua for whatever they can get. And maybe that is like a conditional second, right? Hell, maybe it's a third. Because Tua is already into year two. He was the fifth pick in the draft, so it's not like he makes $700,000. Probably makes $6 or $7 million, which is like what good backups make, and that might be what he is. So basically, if I could get him for a third-round pick, I would be interested. Would I trade a first-round pick? Under no circumstances could I trade a first-round pick for Tua. Zero chance. Second, dependent on my pick status. If I had an extra pick, I would think about it if I was like a football team or a Denver. But I even think those teams, like, let's just figure it out this offseason. Because what does he really get us? It's not like he's winning games. It's not like he's some dynamic player. It shows you. You can miss on a pick in the first round at offensive guard, at wide receiver, at running back, at middle linebacker. But you miss on quarterback when another quarterback that you could have picked becomes a star. It's hard to ever shake that. And I think you're seeing that right now in Miami, the combination of disastrous pick, a disastrous season, desperate owner for just he wants to win, just pressure coming from everywhere. And these guys went from being the toast of the town, the Miami Dolphins, look at this franchise, to now being guys that it feels like, tangibly, they're, you know, making a couple moves for their job, right? I mean, would it shock you if they won two or three games and they can't pull off this Deshaun Watson thing and they just get fired at the end of the season? I wouldn't put that past anybody. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but the Miami Dolphins are a great example of the biggest move you're going to make in your life. And for most of us, it's like, you know, either getting married, having children, whatever, you know, if you leave a stable job to go somewhere else, you better feel pretty good about your decision. Like whoever you marry or you're going to have children with, you better feel pretty good about that decision. If you're a general manager in the NFL, you better know for certain if you're taking a quarterback in the top, really 10, this guy's going to be a guy. Because if he's not, it'll cost you your career. Another quarterback story that kind of took the offseason by storm was Aaron Rodgers. He was going to force a trade. He was going to go to the Broncos, and they were going to trade a bunch of picks, and he was going to come back west, and he was going to be closer to his girlfriend, fiance, who knows what she is, in Los Angeles. And it was like, I just kept saying, I understand emotions are high. They had a rough NFC championship loss. Like, Aaron had to be thinking, I'm going to win the Super Bowl. And I don't blame him. I picked him to win the Super Bowl last year. Once the playoffs started, I'm like, this is Green Bay Super Bowl to lose. And then he has a devastating loss against Tom freaking Brady at Lambeau Field. It just, emotions were high. And I really think, I'm not saying that he made up the Gutekunst beef, but I think that a lot got created in his head over some pretty innocuous moves and practice squad type players. And it just got a little weird. And clearly that he pressured the Packers and they relented and really capitulated to a lot of his demands. They brought in Randall Cobb. They just feel like they've done a good job. And I will give Brian Gutekunst a lot of credit. It feels like the Packers have gone above and beyond to just make him feel better. And you watch Aaron Rodgers last week in Chicago screaming, I still own you, which is just an all-time NFL moment. That was, you know, just someone who I don't care about really either team. That was fun. It made us all laugh, even, and it was true. And then watching these last couple weeks with Pat McAfee, it just looks like he's having a good time. It looks like everything's going well. And I think sometimes when emotions are high, it's why a lot of coaches talk about, you know, whether they're going to, you know, retire. You know, players often talk about whether they're contemplating retiring. You don't make that decision right after the last game, right? You take a step back. You take a deep breath. You have a couple cocktails. You take a week to think about it. You don't want to make decisions when your emotions are the highest, right? You don't probably want to get a divorce in the middle of a fight when you're screaming at each other. Now, a week later, you've both had some time to think. Maybe you realize, listen, we're not right for each other. Let's go our separate ways, right? But usually that's a, you know, it takes a lot of time to build up to that. And I think Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he pulled some of his excuses out of his you-know-what. But you watch him this year, like, it's pretty going pretty well. The Packers are an absolute cruise control. They're 5-1. I don't know if he's going to win the MVP, but he's having another great season. Statistically, he's going to throw 40 to 45 touchdowns. You know, probably 7-8 picks. And they are going to compete to be the number one seed. The Green Bay Packers are easily a top 7-8 brand in sports in America. There's not really that many better places to play NFL quarterback in America, right? You could say the Cowboys are a little more famous, but the Packers quarterbacks, Favre and Rodgers, have been bigger than any Cowboy quarterback. Tom Brady kind of created the Patriots. You could argue it's the best quarterback job in America, the Green Bay Packers. Iconic brand. He's an iconic player. But most importantly, his team is really good. Like, they are really... Now, they got some flaws or whatever. But when you go 14, 15 wins, you know, last year they went 13-3. The year before they go 13-3, it doesn't get any better than that. So I know Colin has thrown out. Maybe he's looking at Pittsburgh. Obviously, Denver's going to keep circling the wagons. How are either of these situations better than the situation he's at right now? And I think we all would agree that they will do whatever it takes to extend Davante Adams this offseason, who, for my money, is the best wide receiver in the league. So he has a superstar wide receiver. He has multiple running backs. Bakhtiari's coming back this week. His offensive line, say what you want about Gutekunst, that guy can find random offensive line, let alone the starting players that they already have, and a lot of them are coming back. I think the center might be out this week, but Aaron Rodgers' situation is pretty good. And they did hit a little adversity week one, and even Rodgers was like, everyone take a deep breath. He didn't quite go as far as the relax, but he said, everyone take a deep breath. Rattle off 5 straight wins. I mean, it just now they're playing the football team this week. They're going to be 6-1. I mean, they have a very, very good shot to be the number one seed for the second year in a row and have the NFC go through Lambeau Field. So I get a lot of DMs, and this is why I thought about this. Like, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers? Like, I look pretty happy to me. Sometimes you get into a bad fight, and, you know, it felt a little more one-sided on Rodgers' side. But listen, we all have our own truths. And then you realize a week later, a month later, 6 months later, a year later, I got it pretty good. And he's got it pretty damn good. And so my take is going to be consistently, till I hear otherwise from 12, that I think he's going to be on the Packers for the foreseeable future. I think they figured this out. I think the head coach and him get along very well. Clearly, offensively, they're on the same page. He gets to do the best of both worlds. He gets to mesh the Shanahan system, which works in terms of running the ball, yet they still let him do some of his in the shotgun, 4 or 5 wide stuff you don't see, you know, from, you know, Shanahan type coaches. I guess McVay's doing a little more because he has Stafford, and his offense just rolls. So my take on Rodgers and the Packers, where it still feels like it's one of those things lingering, like I don't see a breakup imminent. Another big story, and I just think the way society has turned, that, you know, and I'm not some like media hater. Technically, I'm in the space, though. I don't really consider, I'm definitely not a journalist. I did not go to journalism school. I do not care. Like, I'm an opinion guy. I sell my words. I care about entertainment and money. That's all this is. There is zero journalistic integrity involved. Though, I have a lot of respect. I know how hard it is to be a beat writer. I know I wrote for The Athletic for a couple years. I'm close with all the Bay Area guys that do it. I had a column back in the day at Cal Poly, Johnny in the Box. So I do respect the hell out of the profession. I know how hard it is. But, like, they get a lot of pressure now from the powers that be to be very salacious. And I think everything in terms of the media has just become so salacious. And that, listen, it's the consumer. That's what we like. When we see a salacious headline, we are more likely to probably click on that, to consume that, than we are something that's kind of boring. And I saw some stuff this week, which was pretty crazy, that basically people that once Ed Orgeron had officially broken up, even though they're not technically firing him yet, they had a bunch of reports came out that were, I mean, just like, God, is this guy a bad guy? Did this guy, what's up with Ed Orgeron? And two stories I saw, one was that he hit on a pregnant woman at a gas station. And the other was that he was bringing around his girlfriend's children and letting them practice in drills. The Athletic has had to retract that it was not true that the woman that he hit on, who was actually married to one of like the board of directors at LSU, was not pregnant. But when you add in your story that she was pregnant, that is a wowzer moment. And then the other story that came out about LSU was that the girlfriend's children were allowed to practice and participate in LSU practices, which is insane. Like, I've been to enough practices. It's one thing, like, once practice ends, you let some kids on the field. That happens at every level, high school to the pros. But in the middle of practice, that's crazy. Every single player, I saw a ton of players on my Twitter timeline, like, this is completely made up. I've been in this program for 3 or 4 years. I've never seen this. So it's like, you know, the mainstream media is losing so much of our attention's the wrong word, but our trust because of crap like that. Like, the you are just destroying a man's character. Did he do a good enough job coaching the football team? Clearly not. LSU has super high standards, and he was not good enough. But when you say that he's hitting on pregnant women and doing some of the things at practice and it's untrue, like, you can retract it. You can, you know, claim, well, I got bad information. The information's already out there. And that is just happening way too much in society. Like, it's pretty crazy. I actually, and I know a couple people that have worked with Edo that don't really like him. And so I'm not like some Edo truther here as a person. I've never met him. I've been around him a couple times going to USC practices. When I was a GA at Fresno State, we went to watch some practices. But I don't know the guy at all. So I'm not here to defend his character as like some from a personal connection. But that to me, like, what if that happened to me or you? Like, that's kind of bullshit. And like I said, there's just no, well, we were wrong on that. Like, that's a pretty big thing to be wrong on. And then just the job itself. I didn't know much about this Scott Woodward character, who's the AD. So I did a little Googling. And he'd been at Washington for almost a decade. Then he went to Texas A&M, and now he's been at LSU for a couple years, which was his alma mater. And if you look at the history of his four coaching hires, he hired Steve Sarkisian after the Washington Huskies team went 0-12 one year. It was terrible. And at the time, like, I do give him credit for that. Now, it turned out Sark struggled to win 8 games and is not a very good head coach, and now University of Texas is seeing that. But at the time, that was a good hire. No different than Texas at the time hiring Tom Herman. It made a lot of sense. It did not work out, but it made a ton of sense. So while the hire didn't work out, like, he was on the right guy. A lot of people were trying to hire Sark back when he did. Then he got a lifeline. When Sark got the job at USC after Lane got fired and then Ed didn't get the job, he hired Chris Peterson, who at the time at Boise State, things were starting to get weird. They had had, for his first time in his career, had somewhat of a down season. I think they won like 7 or 8 games. And I remember, I know people that know him. He's a UC Davis guy. I'm born and raised in Davis. My dad's close with a lot of Davis athletic, you know, type people. And they all kind of run in the same circles. Chris Peterson, Mike Bellotti, Dan Hawkins. There was this crew of Davis guys. Hackett, who's now, I think, with Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. They're all kind of in the same crew, and they all have mutual friends. And Chris Peterson was just kind of tired of it. Like, we're a mid-major. I've been kicking everyone's ass, and you're treating me like this LSU or Alabama. We have one bad season. So he was there to be had, and Woodward got him. So Woodward lost Sark and upgraded. Like, that was an impressive hire. Then Washington made it to the playoffs a couple years later, hit a home run. Then he goes to Texas A&M, and similar to Chris Peterson at Boise, Jimbo was going through some weird stuff at Florida State, right? Obviously, the program was kind of in a weird spot. He was going through a bad divorce. You can Google it. It's kind of a salacious story as well, though I think that one was based on facts. And he landed him. And he got the boosters, and they gave him a ton of money. I think his first contract, they gave him like $75 million. He's now on a second contract for $100 million. Jimbo's made a lot of money at Texas A&M. But so he went back-to-back coaching hires, Chris Peterson and Jimbo Fisher, which were just home runs for both programs, right? Chris probably a little bit more, but Jimbo just beat Alabama. Jimbo's as good as Texas A&M can ever wish to do. And now he goes to LSU. But I look around the landscape, like, there's not really a Chris Peterson or a Jimbo Fisher that's at, you know, a high-level program, that's a high-level coach, that kind of feels in distress, that feels like he can go land. So for the first time, he's going to have to, I guess, Sark a little bit. But let's face it, he's trying to get a national championship level coach. In his mind, he's going to try to do kind of what Miami or what Alabama did when Saban was at Miami. What Ohio State did when they landed Urban Meyer. Get a guy that you know right away can win national championships. And one name I saw on the kind of the Reddit message board, just on the internet streets, and I've said this for years, that Mike Tomlin would kill it. And I mean dominate in college football. I've always said that about Herm. And look at ASU. They're pretty competitive. He's made them much better by year three than they were for like the last decade. Like, Herm Edwards is working in college football. That can't be disputed. And Mike Tomlin is an infinitely better coach. You just look at their two NFL resumes than Herm Edwards. Now, is Mike Tomlin going to leave the Pittsburgh Steelers for LSU? Probably not. But if you can convince them, like, bro, your quarterback situation.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Is a mess. Maybe he's just time for a change. You know, now, Mike Tomlin would immediately get hired in the NFL. So I don't know if he'd ever be interested in the recruiting aspect, but I've heard him on enough podcasts and heard him give enough like off-season interviews. I do think he really values influencing humans' lives. And I, you know, if any guy was going to make the transition, I could see Woodward going and just trying to land him. Now, I think it's a Hail Mary, But if you are Scott Woodward, you better throw some Hail Marys. You better be okay with people saying no. Because like James Franklin, you just go hire James Franklin or a Luke Fickell or just all these, you know, the same names that are out there. It is no guarantee that he's going to be as good as Ed Orgeron, let alone going to survive more than 3 years. So to me, I'm taking an absolute swing for the fence and making people say no. Same with Urban Meyer. Now, I don't know, you know, if he would be in the Urban Meyer business. Urban's got some weird shit going on. Who knows? But like, those are the type of names I would go after before I ever went for the smaller names. Even Lane Kiffin, like, to me, he's not on their level, right? James Franklin is not on these guys' level. So I would expect him to go fishing in the deep end of the pool. And it's when you're LSU and you can pay $8, $9, $10 million, you're in the SEC, which is basically the NFL now. Like, to me, the LSU and USC job, they're not even comparable. The Pac-12, and listen, I born and raised on the West Coast, I've lived 37, 34 and a half years of my life in California. I'm a Pac-12 homer. We don't hold a candle to the SEC. Interest, finances, NFL prospects, the whole thing. It is so much bigger. And it pains me to say, it's why I claim to be an SEC guy. The SEC interests me much more now than the Pac-12. And that's sad. And so does it with a lot of these kids. It's why so many of them go to school there. Najee Harris, 5 minutes away. Bryce Young, LA guy. I mean, they're just getting all of our best players, as they should. I would go there too if I had the options. So I'm very, very fascinated what LSU is going to do. But I'll promise you, there are going to be some enormous names linked with this program. Now, is it going to happen? Who knows? Do they probably end up with a James Franklin type? Probably. But I would expect this guy, given the resources, given the power of his program, given the power of his conference, to go big game hunting.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Let's just fly around the NFL really quick. This is a pretty terrible weekend. Ton of buys, a lot of bad games, a lot of huge spreads. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are about to, they play the Texans. They're going to be 7-0. When you go 7-0 in a 17-game season, I mean, if they go 4-6 the rest of the year, they would be, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs this year. I mean, that would be 11-6. That'd be a playoff lock. I mean, they might not win the division, but And more than likely, they're not going to go 4-6. That would probably be a Kyler Murray injury. Even if they went 5-5, that would be 12-5. I mean, the Cardinals going 6-0, then having the Texans are just in fantastic shape. I gotta eat crow on that. I was wrong. Chiefs Titans, you know, Mahomes, that their offense has been really good, and they've turned the ball over at a really high rate. Mahomes has thrown a ton of picks. Clyde had those like I think was it 3 games in a row? It was definitely 2 where he had the fumbles. So if they could just cut the turnovers a little bit, that offense is just really, really explosive. And listen, anytime Derrick Henry's taking the field, I'm watching. This guy, we all know he's getting the ball, and wouldn't we all be stunned if he doesn't have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns? As someone who plays daily fantasy, I always overthink it. I'm like, oh, this will be the game that Henry has 30 yards, and then he has 170 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, it's just like clockwork. He's really on one of the most remarkable three-year stretches in NFL history. The Bengals and the Ravens. What, are the Bengals just good? I mean, I don't think they're going to win this game, but I definitely wouldn't say they don't have a shot to win this game. Ja'Marr Chase went from not catching anything in August to Marlon Humphrey, I think his quote was something like this week, like he's taking the league by storm. This guy's dominating. Like, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is elite. Burrow's a stud. I mean, that's just an awesome 1-2 combination. Joe Mixon's really good. That's a pretty good big three. Burrow, Mixon, and Ja'Marr Chase. Now, again, I do not think they're going to win this game, but if they did, would we have to take the Bengals as like a legitimate, I don't want to say AFC contender, but just a team that's going to make serious noise that could win a playoff game? No human, even Bengals fans, would have said that in middle of August, but things change fast. I mean, when you win games and when you have explosive offensive players and a really good quarterback, I think we got to take it seriously. Ja'Marr Chase versus Marlon Humphrey. Sign me up for that matchup. How about the Vegas Raiders? They have a chance to be 5-2. I mean, obviously Gruden's gone, but if you're 5-2, they'd be in pretty good shape. Like, how are they not going to be an AFC wild card? Now, the Eagles, who are a very weird team, who have not looked good for several weeks, and a big part of that has been their quarterback play has been atrocious. Jalen has not played well. He's put up a lot of hollow stats late in games when they've had big leads. They match up pretty good against the Raiders. The Raiders' offensive line, beside their left tackle, is not very good. Leatherwood, the guy they drafted number 17 overall, is now a guard. The Eagles have fantastic defensive linemen. Hargraves is an all-pro level player right now. Fletcher Cox probably is not as good as he was a couple years ago, but is still really good. I don't know how they're going to block these guys. And when Derek gets pressured, it doesn't go that well. Now, I'd have a hard time, you know, picking the Eagles in this game, and I think the Raiders win, but you watch. I bet this game is a little closer than you think, unless Jalen is just atrocious. Now, the Raiders defense, you know, they don't exactly have Deion Sanders and Ed Reed walking through that door in their secondary. So I would imagine Jalen would be a little bit better this week. Also cool, there are so many Alabama players right now. You cannot turn on an NFL game and not see multiple Alabama guys like playing well. I mean, just think about in this game. You're going to have Josh Jacobs. You're going to have Henry Ruggs. You're going to have Devontae Smith. You're going to have Landon Dickerson. Kenyon Drake, who's a little bit older than those guys, but he's in this game. I mean, they're just blue chippers from Alabama all over the league kicking ass. Forever, like the first half of Saban's run, it was always like, you know, he can't. There's no, beside running back, and even they're kind of questionable, it's just offensive linemen and defensive players. Well, now it's wide receivers. It's running backs. It's, hell, even quarterbacks. Even though Tua is a little, you know, not that good, he still starts. And last but not least, Niners-Colts. Kind of sucks. I mean, we got the one game of Trey Lance, and now he's hurt. It's weird because no one saw him got hurt. I don't know when he got hurt, and then they claimed after the game he had a sprained knee, even though he said post the Arizona game, I feel fine. Then he doesn't practice all week during the bye week, and then they give him the weekend off, but he's at the Giants game on Thursday. Now he's missed practice all week. So we're going to get the Jimmy Garoppolo experience, which has not gone well. The Colts, who are getting the best Carson Wentz version we've seen, hell, in years. I don't know. I mean, are the Niners really going to lose their first three home games of 2021? If they do, like, Kyle, people around here are down on Kyle Shanahan. This is a big game for Kyle Shanahan just to get some of his mojo back. This guy was considered universally, but definitely locally, as like boy wonder. And right now, people are kind of calling him like village idiot. Like, what are you doing? Why can't you score any points? So I expect the Niners to win, though I do not feel very good about it. Back again with, you know, what's turned into my favorite segment of the week with my man Stucky, who's, you know, if this was the NFL, he might not be able to play this week. Playing injured, potentially got bronchitis from the wife. Not ideal, but, you know, gamblers got to make their picks. You can hear him every week, Thursday morning, Action Podcast Network. Stucky, are you live?
Yeah, there's no weeks off from, you know, August until March. I mean, if this was May, I could just take 3 days and get under a heated blanket and sleep. But on a Wednesday, Thursday, it's you just got to push through it. So here we are again.
Tom Brady's been playing games without a voice So, you know, we'll make this quick.
I'm just like that, right on par with them.
Okay, we had an interesting week last week. Obviously, Cleveland, I think, shocked us all. They got destroyed. New England was, you know, in position to not just cover, but win that game. That was crazy. But the Ravens, that was a good pick. So you're 10-7-1 on the season.
What's funny about that New England, when we first talked, I told you about my biggest bet ever, which I lost, which was when New England +4 went to overtime Atlanta. Against Atlanta, won the coin toss, and I had Atlanta. Well, this time I have the New England +4, and they win the coin toss, but still find a way to lose by a touchdown. So that one was, that was cruel.
I know everyone's blowing Mac Jones. I'm not a Mac Jones hater, but I mean, he clearly not on the same page with his wide receiver on like 3rd and 3, airmails him. I don't know what's going on there. It's not like if Brady's in the game, I would imagine that might turn out a little different.
Yep, you bet.
Okay, let's start with Philly headed to Vegas. I like Philly in this game plus the points. I don't know if they win outright, but I think they have a huge advantage in the trenches. I mean, their D-line against that Raiders offensive line, which is more than questionable. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's a side here. I took some +3, some +3.5. And just to preface all this, it's like this is probably, I think this will end up going down as the ugliest NFL card of the entire year. You know, you have a bunch of buys.
It's pretty, it's pretty bad.
You have, a -16, a -17, a -13. But I think this is one of my favorite underdogs on the card. With the Eagles, you nailed it, match up in the trenches. How do you beat Derek Carr? You get pressure on him without blitzing. And that's exactly what Philly does. They don't blitz. They blitz at, I think, around 13-14% of the time. And their defensive line, especially up the middle, against that really weak interior, they can collapse this pocket, get pressure on Carr. And then what they're doing on the back end is they're just preventing explosive plays. They rank in the top three of allowing explosive passes. The Raiders are the number one offense in the NFL in explosive pass plays. So Philly's playing really back. They can get pressure. So I think they match up well on that side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, you know, you get Lane Johnson back at tackle, presumably. Maiata moves to left tackle. That's key because you can then deal with the strength of this Raiders defense, which is their edge rushers. I think that Philly will be able to run it some. Raiders secondary's banged up. I like Philly to get this done. A couple extra days of rest and preparation after playing on Thursday. And this Raiders team, just look at their results. This is your classic team that just plays up and down to their competition. they beat the Ravens. They went to Pitt, beat the Steelers. Then they lose at home to the Bears. They go to overtime at home against the Dolphins. I think the Eagles go out west to get this done.
Okay, football team, which was a pretty sexy preseason pick. I don't know to be like a 12-win team, but to be, 9-10-ish win squad, have been pretty terrible. Headed to Green Bay, who's just in cruise control right now, kicking people's asses and not even trying, it looks like. They're getting 9.5 points. My take would be that's a lot of points. I just struggle right now betting on the football team. I mean, this would probably be a stay away for me, but if I was going to pick it, I'd probably have to go with the Packers. What say you?
Yeah, I took the points here. I took 9.5. I just think that this is – look, coming into the year, I actually was on an island. I hated this Washington team. I bet them under wins and one of my favorite win totals. Because if you look at last year, the quarterbacks that they faced, the offensive lines that they faced, I mean, it was backup after backup. Then you're facing the Dallas offensive line twice that was just killed by injuries. The Philly offensive line that was crushed by injuries. So throughout the year, then you have the Giants offensive line. Their defense was just benefiting from a lot of backups. I think their numbers were inflated. I just wasn't a huge fan of them. But I think that now the market has finally abandoned them and that there's some value in the side. I would have loved to get 10. But the Packers, look, they haven't really been blowing teams out. Like you said, I think they're kind of in cruise control here. They beat the Bears, an emotional win, I own you. They have the Cardinals on Thursday night coming up in a game that could determine who gets the one seed in the NFC when it's all said and done.
That's a good Thursday night game.
Yeah, great Thursday night game. So they have a lot of injuries. You know, Zadarius Smith, Jair Alexander are huge. They're already on IR. Preston Smith, Savage, their center Myers, their rookies would play well. I doubt any of them play. Packers' most conservative teams in the NFL when it comes to injuries. And when you consider that, they have the Cardinals on Thursday night in a short week, I doubt any of them play. This is this is basically Washington's season. I mean, they're 2-4. You see how Dallas, what Dallas is doing. They don't win this game. I think it's over. You probably, I think that you get their best effort here. Their secondary has been a mess with miscommunication. Their defensive line is getting close. Like, they're getting pressure. Maybe this is the game they finally get the Rodgers. I just think after the Packers have covered five straight, Washington has been a mess. Everyone is done with them. You're finally getting some value on Washington. It's scary. Hold your nose. But I can see the Packers coming out flat here. They also play slow. And, you know, and then maybe they get behind by 7-10. Rodgers brings it back and they win, you know, by 4-6. I could see that easily playing out. So I think it's a good spot for Washington. Little value in the line that I make 7. So I took the 9.5 here again on just an ugly card.
On just a big picture, like ranking, you know, the top probably 4 or 5 teams in the NFC, neutral sites, if you were placing lines, Green Bay, Tampa, LA, Arizona, and Dallas,
yep.
Would you put Green Bay at the bottom of that list, or where would you put them?
Yeah, well, it actually depends on the status of Jair Alexander. And I haven't checked to see if he's out for the year yet. They said that they're waiting to see. But I think he's that important to that team. When you're talking about playing these upper echelon teams of the NFC,
yeah.
Like, you're going to go out and play some of these high power passing attacks. He allows you to do so much. So I think, yeah, Green Bay would probably be 4th or 5th on that list without Jair Alexander. You know, he's arguably the most important defensive player to his team in the NFL. But yeah, those are the 5 that I think will be right there when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and if you think about it, all those, you know, those teams, obviously Green Bay does too with Devontae, but they all, you know, Hopkins, AJ Green's playing well, Rondale Moore, CeeDee Lamb, Amari, Mike Evans, and all those guys. Yep. I mean, all these teams now have just loaded passing attacks. You're right. Without him, it's going to be tough for them in the playoffs, huh? Just because their DBs are just going to get smoked.
Yeah, and then it doesn't allow you to be flexible on defense with being aggressive, calling different things. You're too worried about, you know, keeping your safeties back, yeah. And then you're just going to get picked apart. So I think his status is paramount for Green Bay's chances at a Super Bowl.
Okay, Chiefs headed to Nashville. Both these two teams, I mean, Tennessee got an enormous win. Kansas City was going weird against the football team, and then Mahomes turned into Mahomes, and they kind of kicked their ass in the second half. Chiefs -5.5. I'd be torn on this one. It's like, do I ride the momentum of Tennessee? Do I trust Kansas City's defense? But Tennessee is not just, I mean, they're very predicated on a running back hidden play. So if you can just neutralize him a little bit, which clearly everyone tries and they can't. I mean, this guy's like the modern day Jim Brown right now. But I guess I would lean Kansas City -5.5. But this might be a stay away for me.
Who do you like in this game? The card is very ugly, but I did play some Chiefs -5.5 here, which is shocking for me. I haven't bet the Chiefs. I've teased them a couple of times. I haven't bet the Chiefs in a spread, and luckily, because they've rarely covered over the past year. I haven't bet them in 2 years on just a straight spread. There's just been inflation in the market. I mean, who doesn't? You know, everyone wants to back Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I think that, look, this is number one, Tennessee coming off an emotional win, short week, and they got crushed by injuries in that game against Buffalo. Julio Jones, I doubt, plays, dealing with a hamstring. They're going to win that division. You can't really – and you've seen
Vrabel. It's basically over now.
Yeah, you've seen – they basically clinched the division. You've seen Vrabel already. Be careful with him. You know, he's older, he's dealing with a hamstring. You don't want that to linger. So I doubt he plays. Taylor Lewan goes down. His backup is very poor in Kendall Lamb. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, Fulton has been their best corner by far this year. He's on IR. You lose your first-round draft pick for the season to an injury. Your corners for this game are Chris Jackson, who's hurt, who isn't even practicing, Breon Borders. Like, you're signing guys to the practice squad to go up against this Kansas City offense. That's a nightmare. And look, this Kansas City offense still leads the league in points per drive, despite leading the league in turnovers per drive. So, once this turnover regression happens, Mahomes just stops throwing the ball up in the air, which we never see from him. I don't even know what this offense is going to look like, especially against this Tennessee defense, which is just crushed. It's not good to start with. And now they have no quarters. And then, you know, the one thing that I've always hated about Kansas City, which is and why never wanted to lay points with them, is their defense. They actually found some things last week schematically. They'll get some guys back this week. Like last week, they held Washington to 70 yards in the second half. They finally took Sorensen out and played Thornhill every snap. I don't know what took them so long. They were finally playing Willie Gay in there at linebacker for Neiman. They'll get Chris Jones back this week at D-tackle. They were trying to play him at D-end, which was just a nightmare. Charvarius Ward should come back as well. Still not a good defense, but it can play as like the 21st, 22nd ranked defense, which is all they need. You know, first few weeks of the season, it was the worst defense in the NFL by far, and you couldn't lay points with them. So I think, you know, Tennessee on a short week here. Kansas City has advantages, massive advantage on the offensive side of the ball. I think they can get enough stops. Henry will probably run wild against this defense, but without Julio Jones, without Taylor Lewan, I like the Chiefs to get this done by at least a touchdown in what should be an extremely high-scoring game.
Yeah, taking Sorensen out might just remove at minimum a touchdown a game.
Yeah,
because absolutely. God, he was just getting burnt
every game. He would be lost. Someone's 20 yards downfield behind him.
Okay, Stucky, go take some drugs, feel better, and enjoy the weekend. Hopefully, absolutely. You'll get better quick.
Good luck, everyone.
Okay, let's go. Middlecoff mailbag at John Middlecoff is the Instagram handle, and that's where you slide up in those direct messages and get your question answered here on the show. Hey, John, what's your take on Trayvon Diggs' season? His case seems to be a tale of whatever stat you look at, yards versus INTs, for example. Is the takeaway production sustainable? Well, I haven't studied him, and to really have a big take on a corner, you'd have to like get the all 22 out and watch him. And I think there's another question in here. Someone's like asking if he's a little overrated, because he's given up some yards, he's given up some plays. Marcus Peters gives up a ton of yards and a ton of plays, but he creates turnovers by forced fumbles and picks the ball off. Diggs has 2 touchdowns on his own and 7 picks. So if he's got burned a couple times, I don't give a shit. If you're going to create 7 turnovers through 6 games, every team in the league would start the guy and take him immediately. Now, I know you, that's not your question, but yeah, is he Deion Sanders as a, you know, or Jalen Ramsey as a cover corner? Probably not. But is he creating so much value by turning the ball over? And he scored 2 touchdowns, right? Because he has 2 pick sixes that I can fucking live with whatever, you know, yards he gives up. I also think yards in the NFL, how many true touchdowns has the guy given up? You can give up a ton of yards. Yards are the most overrated thing in America. The 49ers against Seattle like 3 weeks ago had like 200 yards in the first quarter. They had 7 total points. This world's about, or I mean, not this world, but this world is too. It's about, you know, scoring points. You can have 800 yards offense, but if you only score 20 points, who cares? It's like if you're a defense and you gave up a ton of yards, but you don't give up that many points, like the point of the game is to score. So to me, the question is, am I going to put him like, you know, Deion Sanders, Darrell Revis? No. But let's not overstate what he's doing is incredible. If you're picking the ball off every single game, that to me is really all that matters. Started listening to your solo pod a few months ago and haven't missed an episode. Appreciate it. I have a question for whatever your next mailbag is. It seems at the moment that Malik Willis and Matt Corral are the 2 quarterbacks that are likely to go in the first round, but they are viewed as the same caliber of prospects of guys in last year's class. Do you think quarterback needy teams that will likely pick in the top 5, like the Texans or Lions, for example, would take them at that point? Or do you think for the first time in a while, no quarterback goes in the top 10 picks? Well, the kid at Liberty, Malik, I have not seen throw a pass. I have yet to watch any Liberty. So I can't really have a take there beside knowing what Bruce Feldman and other people have talked about that have, you know, been at camps with him. My friends that are like college directors do not seem to think that there are any top quarterbacks. Now, guys get overdrafted, right? That much is, it's like in a good real estate market. You're like, well, this house on the market for $1 million, but if you want, it's going to cost you 1.3, right? You can offer 1.1, but you'll never get it. Like, you want to get a quarterback. It was like last year with the quarterbacks. You know, what did, I mean, 5 of them went in the top 15. 4 of them went in the top 11. It's like, yeah, I want a quarterback. It's like Washington football team. I want a quarterback. Well, if you want to get one, you got to get up here high. And if you don't, you won't get one. So, those guys all had elite attributes. Corral's small. That's the thing. Corral's small. I haven't seen Malik throw the ball. I think there's a chance, just based on the limited information I have, that no quarterbacks are taken in the top 10. Because if I'm Dan Campbell or I'm the Texans,
I am not drafting a guy unless I think he's going to be my starting quarterback for 10 years. It's not worth it. I'm biased because one of my buddies who I played hockey with is a kicker in the CFL, Brett Lowther. He's been a consistent kicker in that league since 18. Why is it the CFL kickers don't get a look when NFL kickers are struggling? The league seems to recycle talent. Well, when you're in the CFL, I can't sign you out of the CFL. When I was a pro scout, I worked out of CFL guys. They have, if I sign like a two-year contract with a CFL, I'm stuck there for a couple years. So it's not like the AAF or the XFL where I can just steal you out of a league. I can't take you till your contract is up and there's this window where I can sign you. So it is a little complicated. And I can't sign you during the season. It's got these weird rules. Now, maybe those have changed the last 4 or 5 years, but I don't think they have. So it's a little more complicated than you think. So really, if I'm going to sign a CFL kicker, I have to do it in the offseason, and then he has to beat out the NFL kicker. And let's face it, the NFL kickers, you know, are just, they don't look that bad in practice. It's just the games that fuck them. So I think they get recycled because those are the only guys. There just aren't that many human beings that can make 40-yard field goals. There just aren't. Have you ever tried kicking a field goal, just like screwing around at a field? Pretty hard. What do you think the ceiling is for the Steelers with Ben this year? I believe we have potential for a top five defense and some nice weapons. My concern is the O-line and the progression of Devin Bush. I think you can get to 10 wins. You're 3-3. I don't think 10 wins. 11, probably best case. But your defense, your culture. I mean, Ben can kind of operate like Tom Brady now, right? Get rid of the ball fast, which he is. Problem is the weather's going to turn in Pittsburgh. That's where the offensive line might get exposed. But you get another shot at Cincinnati. You got a bye this week. Then you get the Brownies. Then you get the Bears. Then you get the Lions. So, boom. I mean, if you beat the Browns, I mean, you could be 6-3 really fast. Then the Chargers, then the Bengals again, then the Ravens, then the Vikings, then the Titans, then the Chiefs, then the Browns, and the Ravens. Holy shit. Your schedule's pretty hard. So you better figure out a way to win probably these next three games at Browns, Bears, Lions. Then you'll be 6-3. And then just, you know, try to win four more games. At Chargers, at Bengals, Ravens, at Vikings, Titans, at Chiefs, Browns, at Ravens. Shit. That is not easy. That wouldn't be easy if the Steelers were really good. So, you know, I'd say 10 max. I'd say anywhere between 8 to 10. It's going to come down to your offensive line and how, Ben holds up. Do you think the NFL is headed in a direction that is too quarterback-centric? Average completion percentage has never been higher. You can't touch quarterbacks. And I've heard you mention it's never been easier to play quarterback. I'd love to see an NFL where Derrick Henry or a great defense can lead a team to a Super Bowl. And I feel like we're moving in that away from that. Yeah, I mean, do you have any finance pods you'd recommend for a 21-year-old? Animal Spirits and then Josh Brown, the dude on CNBC, has a thing called The Compound, which they're a part of too. It's a podcast I think they put out on Fridays. And they have a YouTube channel, The Compound. I love all their stuff. It's very easy to take in. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a Wharton School grad to understand what they're saying. Basic market stuff, housing market, love it. I can't recommend it enough. I consume it all. I don't think that's necessarily true. To win a Super Bowl with all defense, I'd even say in the last several decades, like you had to have a great defense. 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens, right? Some of those Seahawks teams. But the Titans, Derrick Henry took them to the NFC or AFC Championship game 2 years ago. The 49ers had Jimmy Garoppolo, took them to the Super Bowl. They had one of the best defenses and rushing attacks in the league. So you have to be elite at it. You got to have an elite defense or an elite rushing attack. But it can be done. If the Titans had a good defense, they would be Super Bowl contenders. They're still going to be in the playoffs. I think sometimes we overreact. But it's always been a quarterback league. In my youth, in the 90s, like when I came into my own as a sports fan, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Troy Aikman, John Elway, Brett Favre, John Elway. I mean, those were all the quarterbacks who won Super Bowls in my youth in the 90s. And even before that, it was like Montana, Phil Simms, the 85 Bears, Montana, right? So it's, you just, it's always been, you got to have a great quarterback. The 49ers were the slight favorite to win the NFC West, and the Arizona was the fourth favorite. Right now, they have as good of a chance to win the West as the Broncos do to win the AFC West. The Raiders, for context, already without their head coach, currently have a better chance than the 49ers to be division champs. In both Wests, feels like the top two teams are separating themselves. But is it fair to say that Vegas public season over embrace Shanahan? Does Cliff... Well, I think the Vegas thing's easy. Derek Carr. It's a quarterback leave. Like, the Niners quarterback, Jimmy wasn't that good, and then Trey Lance is a rookie in his first start against the Cardinals. Cardinals, Kyler Murray's been awesome. Like, Derek Carr's played like a top 10 quarterback. When you get top 10 quarterback play, you're going to be good. But the Raiders are the third best team in their division, right? Chiefs, or Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders. Like, we saw the Chargers and Raiders play. And the Raiders aren't better than the Chiefs. So, but it's quarterback. Sean McVay's got Matt Stafford. The reason the Broncos are fucked, because of Teddy Bridgewater. The Niners, the Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance thing is not ready to go. I just think it's pretty basic. You know, the reason the Chargers are awesome is they have Justin Herbert. The reason the Ravens kick everyone's ass, they got Lamar Jackson. The reason the Bills are kicking everyone's ass, they got Josh Allen. Titans are like an outlier. They just have one of the greatest running backs we've ever seen. Here was the question. Do you think that we're overrating Diggs, considered he's allowed most yards in the NFL? I think yards allowed is such an overrated stat. I just don't think it matters. Now, is he giving up six TDs? That would be a problem. But if he gave up two touchdowns, well, he scored two, and he's picked the ball off five other times. So what else can the guy do? I mean, he has seven picks through six games. I don't think you can overrate that. That is an incredible... Trayvon Diggs has one less catch than Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk had 65 catches last year. In 12 games, Diggs has one less catch than him. Think about that. Big fan from Chicago and even bigger fan of the pod. Appreciate it, Andrew. What are your thoughts on the Bears being front runner for top-tier offensive coordinators like Daboll, Kellen Moore? In my opinion, I like Daboll more just because he has coaching experience than someone like Kellen, but I'd like your opinion on how detrimental it would be for a new head coach in the development of Justin Fields. Well, I know everyone's trying to write off Matt Nagy, but let's just see. He plays the Bucs this week. Not going to be easy. Then he's got the Niners. If he's fired, they are 100% hiring an offensive coach. Now, if Matt Nagy loses his job, Ryan Pace better be relieved of his duties the day before. Because under no circumstances can Matt Nagy be fired before Ryan Pace be fired. Now, if you're going to fire them both, then the question is, what do you do? Are you hiring a head coach? Are you going to hire Brian Daboll and let him hire the GM? Or are you hiring a GM first? So it's, to me, that's the question you ask before you do the Kellen Moore stuff. Who's being hired first? Do they want a football czar? Or do they want the head coach to run the draft? Because I don't want my coach running the draft. Don't want it. Can't. Nope. Not me. I want, especially Brian Daboll or Kellen Moore. Now, if you get a good big-time GM and they hire that guy, then I'd be all in. But let's just see Matt Nagy. He's only 3-3. He's got Justin Fields playing good football. Don't write him off. Appreciate everyone listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy some football. Enjoy your friends and family. Enjoy some cocktails. Cheers to you. And take it easy, my people.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.